You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on High FM 101.9. And I'm your host, Adrienne Bogarty. If you've got any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking or food that you'd like to share with us, please send us a message. SMS 34519, which are charged at R1.50 per SMS. Send a telegram on 061-895-1019 or email us on onair@highfm.com. You can also reach out on Twitter at highfm or Facebook on 101.9 highfm for the page. Okay, coming up in today's show, once again, we have three cooking terms as we learn what they mean. The one is osik, then barding, and basting. I've also chosen three herbs to talk about today: bay leaves, bergamot, and black cumin. Then I will share a recipe that uses bay leaf in its ingredients, and you can find that recipe on the website after the show. And instead of an interview today, I will be continuing to talk about how to meal plan effectively to reduce your food budget. And I'm going to talk about the grocery challenge that I issued here and on Facebook last week. I have some kashrut updates to share with you and obviously the recipe that is easy and it'll save you money. So let's go straight into the terminology. Recipes often use terms that most of us have never heard. And it can make the most simple recipe sound complex and difficult to try and put us off it. So each week, we're beginning to decode the terminology. This week, I found one that I've never heard of called osik. It's spelled A-U-S-E-C. It's obviously French, which I have ruined with my wonderful accent because I've never learned French. The description means it's a liquid that's been reduced until it's almost dry. So it's like almost like a sticky toffee. There's almost no fluid to it. And that is often the beginning of your gravy or your basting sauce when you reduce something until it is almost dry. It's practically gone. And then you're going to add your water and you're going to reanimate it with herbs and spices and some water to serve with whatever it came from. The next term is something I've done before and it was amazing. It's called barding. And that means to cover your meat with a layer of fat before you cook. Now, I'm not sure if it's the way I've done it or if they mean that you go and rub thick layers of margarine or, you know, animal fat, vegetable fat, whatever it is, over the meat just to keep it moist. But what I did was I took from the butchery, I got a layer of beef belly fat and I put it over the roast that I was making and pinned it down and I spiced my meat and then I spiced the fat as well, held it over the meat with wet toothpicks. Please be careful to use wet ones. If you've got metal skewers, that'll also work because if you use a dry match, toothpick or something like that, it's going to burn and could set fire to your kitchen. So I did that. I pinned it down over the meat and I cooked the meat and when it was done, it was soft, it was juicy, and the fat was delicious and crispy with great flavor. I haven't done that again in a while just because it was a lot of work, but it was fun. And then basting. This is where you can pour melted fat or juices of the liquid over the meat or other food while you're cooking to keep it moist. So most of us know or grew up with one of those big basting syringes. It was like a metal tube with a little bulb at the end. And during the cooking process, usually about every 15 minutes to half an hour, you're going to suck up some of those juices that are in the bottom of the pan and pour them over your meat that is basting. The other way to do it, obviously, is to dip your basting brush and you just brush it over your meat regularly. That would need to be done more often because you're not getting as big flavor as you will. So just a reminder, I'm Adrienne Bogarty and you're listening to the SN Fresen Show on Chai FM 101.9. Once again, if you have any suggestions, questions, tips, information on cooking and food that you would like to share with us, please message us on SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. Send us a telegram on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. You can reach out on Twitter at chaifm or on the Facebook page 101.9 chaifm. So today's herbs that I'm doing, I said, was bay leaf, bergamot, and then black cumin. Okay, so the first one is bay leaf. And for most of us, bay leaf knows for pickling, whether it's meat or vegetables, that's what we know it is. So bay leaf is actually a evergreen. It's called, it's indigenous to Mediterranean areas. And it's a popular spice. It's not only used in pickling, it's great in marinades and to flavor stews, especially curries, in stuffings and in fish. They're a delicate flavoring, but they've got a very bitter taste. And that's why we remove the bay leaf when we're finished cooking, so that nobody gets that horrible taste in their mouth. And it does have some essential oils. But to get the right amount of essential oils, it's going to be quite a bit. So it gives, when you've dried the bay leaf, I mean, just opening the box can give you that beautiful aroma. And obviously you remove it when you finish cooking. One of the other uses for bay leaves, by the way, is to keep ants and insects out of your cupboards. So put a couple of bay leaves loose in your cupboard and you will have beautiful, ant-free, especially at the moment, and fish moth-free covers. Bergamot is another fragrance that, it's beautiful, to smell. And you've actually seen it around. You've used it probably. It's very common. It's used, the most common one is orange bergamot, and that's actually used in tea. So you've got bergamot herbs and then the bergamot orange, which are very similar, and can be used not only in flavoring of foods and teas, but also as a base for perfumes. Now, the bergamot herbs are found in North America, and they're grown because of their beauty. They are grown as ornamentals to attract bees and butterflies and hummingbirds. So also bee balm or Oswego tea are used by Native Americans or American Indians, and it was one of the drinks adopted by the Americans during their boycott of the British tea. So the leaves are now used to flavor not only tea, but punches, lemonade, and other cold drinks. Lemon bergamot or lemon balm and wild bergamot are also used in tea. So your Earl Grey tea, which is not actually originally British, it's American, comes from Italy. So the bergamot as tea was used in America first and then in Italy as well. And they turned the orange bergamot into your Earl Grey tea, which is known as a sort of a calming influence and can be used for mild stress, you know, to calm you down. And it's great to have just before going to bed, makes you nice and relaxed. Our third spice is called black cumin, and most of us have seen it as nigella seeds on the shelves. Okay, so it's black seeds, black caraway, Roman coriander, kilani, or fennel flower, any of those, and they're part of the ranunculus family. It's the first word I've been able to say when it's come to these kind of leaves without stumbling, because I actually know what it is. And it's grown because of the seeds. The seeds are quite strong in a smell, and it's a great spice and obviously used in herbal medicine as well. And this plant, the cumin plant, is found in Asia, which is why we find it in the Mediterranean, Upper Africa, and Asian foods as an amazing flavor in all sorts of curries and spices. So they sort of smell like fennel, but they taste like nutmeg. And are neither, belong to neither family. The seeds are usually roasted and then ground into a spice, and as I said before, used in India, the Middle East, North Africa to season curry, to season rice, breads, and some of the sweets as well. Black cumin is an important part of traditional medicine in many places and is a great herbal remedy for a lot of stuff if you know your plant remedies. And once again, it's also grown because of its beautiful flowers to attract the bees and, you know, to get our insect population up, and beautiful thing is coming. So you're listening to the Essen Fressen Show, and this is High FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bugatti. Still to come up in the show, I'm going to continue as I did last week with my meal planning and how to get it going, to the challenge that I issued on Facebook and here on the group, as well as kashrut updates for the week. Very important. I'm focusing on South Africa for this week because there is quite a bit. There was very little since last week for the rest of the world. We're going to take an ad break now. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on High FM 101.9. And I'm Adrian Bugatti.
High FM, your station of choice since 2008. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show, High FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bugatti. Once again, if you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on anything to do with cooking or food that you would love to share with us, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50 each. You can send us Telegram on 061-895-1019, or email us on air at highfm.com. You can tweet us on highfm at highfm or on our Facebook page, highfm as well. So I was talking last week about how to start meal planning, and last week I covered things like getting to know what your family liked, and also how to start working out your budget, you know, collecting all your table slips and everything. So we're going to continue with talking on how to do your budget, because food prices are definitely going up. COVID is on the increase. You want to shop as little as possible, and you want to get as much bang for your buck as you can. So here's what we're looking at. When you're setting up your food budget, you've got to begin to work on what you spent last month, because you can't just start a budget and not know what was in the previous month. And remember, your budget is going to be very dependent on what you're earning. That's an important part. So you can't have this massive budget if you have a small salary, or a small budget, you know, that's impossible to keep to. And that's why I put up the challenge to show that it is possible to have kosher food on a small budget. You just need to be prepared to change the way you eat. So when you're setting up your food budget, you're going to have a look, obviously, what you spent last month. So hopefully you've kept your till slips, because that'll make it easier to work out what was strictly food, what was housekeeping, cleaning or products, and what was like pharmacy or toiletry products. If you don't have that, you can begin to use your bank statements. It'll show you where you shopped, so you're able to more or less break that down a little bit, even if it's not as much as we'd like. So the things that you won't have access to is how much you spent on car guards and how much you paid people to on the side of the road as you were driving to and from the shop, so any charity you gave out that way. And those do form part of your food budget, because that's where your money disappeared to. You were going shopping for food, and now you've given out this cash, and all of a sudden your wallet is empty. So it's important to keep a look on it. And when I talk about budgeting for a household, your grocery budget is a priority, because food is one of your basic principles of needs. And that is a roof over your head, food and water, you know, and safety. So we're looking at prioritizing your food, and you've got to go through it very carefully with an open mind of what you cannot live without. So foods that are basics. So we always start, unless you're banting, this won't apply. Milk, bread, eggs, oil, sugar, salt, and butter or margarine. Those are your basics, because most of stuff is built from there. Whatever your meal is. If you're banting, obviously the bread is either banting bread. If you're gluten-free, you're going to be using gluten-free bread. And that is going to push your budget up quite a bit because of the cost of the banting and the gluten-free products. Then the next thing on my list is always my canned and dry goods. Now, the first thing that I do with this is I shop at home. Okay, so when I'm doing my meal planning, that's where I start off before I go out to an actual shop or go online for my groceries. The items that you can buy and keep, and this is why I buy them at the beginning of the month and I bulk shop, or not bulk shop, I plan for the month and then I buy what I can. If I bulk shop, it's going to be off to the shop to get all those bulk items. Please make sure that when you are buying in bulk that it is actually cheaper than the individual item. That is something that South Africa is not known for. So that's something. So in my cupboard will always be beans of some kind. I usually have a variety of speckled beans, black beans, and beans and tomato sauce. Then there's tomato and onion mix, because you can make a million things based with that. Assorted pastas, and then, believe it or not, packet soups. Packet soups are my lazy day cooking. I will often empty one out if I'm making a cholent and just pour it in, or I'll mix it up and pour it over a roast. It just adds flavor to stews as well. So all of those things, it's just a nice flavoring just to add in, and it's not expensive. But then again, in winter, it's also great to have in the cupboard that you can quickly, at the last second, just have some soup as a snack. Okay, please be aware that the packet soups are quite high in carbohydrates and a fair amount of other preservatives. So that's why I said those are my emergency things. So beans are often used to stretch meals. When I first learned to use beans in my mince, it made such a difference. I went from having to use over a kilo of mince for one meal to down to 500 grams. Just by adding one tin of beans and a quarter of a cup of oat bran. That was all that was different. And nobody noticed, because I mashed the beans up, so nobody noticed there were beans in the mince. And it just made so much more. And it kept everybody full for longer. So that's why beans are great, especially with everybody stuck at home. It does keep you full. So it's a great sugar stabilizer. So if you're a diabetic or something, then they'll tell you beans, legumes, peas, those kind of things added to your diet are going to keep your sugars stable and keep you feeling nice and full, so you won't be hungry in 20 minutes again. Another one for tomato and onion mix is obviously not only for me to pour on top of mealy-pup. It's great on stews. My kids, when I'm feeling energetic, I will chop up tomato and onion, fry that up, and it's great on toast. But if you're not feeling energetic or you don't like doing that, open a can of tomato and onion mix, put it in a frying pan. You don't need oil or anything. Heat it up, reduce it a little bit so it's a nice thick consistency, and it's a great addition to toast. And then you can sprinkle some cheese on, and we call that pizza toast. Once again, I said the packet soups, while they're not exactly nutritious, they're good for an emergency and can be served, you know, with bread. You can stick some soup bones in it to give it some extra flavor and some proper nourishment in it. Some good protein to add to it. And once again, they make amazing gravies, especially Friday night when you're going to be doing your food and you need the gravy. You need it in a sauce so that it doesn't dry up by the time you eat it. I don't know how many recipes there are in all the older books that ask for packet soup to be added as a gravy and a base. So that's a wonderful addition as well. My next tip is to divide your planned monthly grocery budget. So however many weeks there are in a month, whether it's 4 weeks or 5 weeks, you split that monthly budget into weekly portions. And then what I usually do is I do my online shopping. I do a big bulk shop at the beginning of the month. So they will come and deliver like boxes and boxes of stuff to me. And my cupboards and kitchen start off like almost overflowing that we've run out of space. But it's great to keep it on hand, and it just makes, it definitely saves you a lot of money. It makes more sense when you are an impulse buyer or if you work full time. Having your groceries delivered at a set time is great. And if you know you're going to do your grocery delivery. So we know that some of the places when you're doing it, you've got to do like pick and pay. You've got to order at least 3-4 days in advance to get it on the day you want it. So you need to remember that. And what you can do with this is every time something's finished, you just add it to your grocery list. You don't have to check out at the time. So what I do is I've learned that between the 26th of the month and the 3rd of the month, you're often going to land up with stuff missing. So I try and make sure that my delivery is booked for the 27th. The reason for that is that it's when people get paid, and that's when they do their their bulk shopping. And the main storehouse, because that's where they get all the food from, is empty. They don't anymore get it from, like if you lived in this area, you wouldn't get it from Pick and Pay in Norwood. You would, from the Norwood Mall, you would get it from the main factory or main storeroom. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, is to do your monthly budget, your monthly shopping at the beginning. And then I do my weekly also online. It costs 45 Rand to have it delivered same day to my house. You're only allowed 30 items, but what an amazing thing is not to have to go to the shop and not to have to worry about your petrol, your parking, getting in and out of your house, your plastic bags, any of those kind of things. Those are important to keep in mind when saving the environment and keeping your costs down, because I think plastic bags are now 80 cents each. So that's an important thing. And then the weekly delivery comes in a brown paper bag, which I then use to keep my kitchen clean. So if I'm prepping food or stuff, I tear open that bag, I put it down on my surface, and I can scrape all my vegetables and peelings and everything into the brown paper bag, and then it either goes into compost or into the dustbin, whichever you prefer to do. So I've said divide your budget into weekly things, and then what I often do is I withdraw that amount of cash. So I know how much it's going to be. That's my budget for the week. And when I go to the shops, if I have to go into the shop, I work out how much it's going to be, and I only take that amount of cash with me. This way, you're not actually going to be spending extra money because you haven't got it with you. So there's no impulse buying because you just can't afford it. And you will see the difference to your grocery budget. It will definitely drop. So, like I said, beginning of the month, one big shop, and then your weekly shopping, that is going to save you a fortune of money. Now, what you need to do is to work out how much you want to buy non-perishables. Is you take a third of it and you put that in for fresh produce, your third of your budget, and then the rest that is split up. Obviously, if you paid weekly, you can only do your shopping weekly, and you need to be very careful with that. You need to be much stricter on yourself when you are doing weekly shopping. A good thing to do is to go in fairly late in the afternoon, not when everybody's tired and it's ready to close, but I know a lot of stores towards the end of the day start marking stuff down. So you either got to get there first thing in the morning for the fresh produce that's been marked down, or you've got to get late in the afternoon, and what will happen is often the deli stuff that needs to be fresh and can't be left over is going to be marked down as well. So I've often bought like a roast chicken marked down at like 40% because it's 4 o'clock and they need to sell it and the deli's closed. So that's a big thing. It can't stay overnight. There's a couple of things that are going to help you as well. A few tips. So the first one is do not go shopping without a shopping list. For those of us who tend to forget our shopping lists at home, I've learned to take a photo of my shopping list so that it's on my phone, or to make a voice note. Either one of those, if you've got a little recorder, you can do a voice note, and that'll help you with the shopping list as well. Another thing is to make sure that you're not hungry, you're not tired, and you're not in a rush when you're going shopping. That you have the time to look at the prices, to shop slowly and consciously, and to have a look at what you're putting in your trolley. And then just before closing, you're going to have these grumpy tellers, so just be careful with that. And if you can avoid it, the big spenders, the children and the husband usually, don't take them with. It costs a lot more money that way. And even though mine are, I would say, taking my kids with who are older and don't ask for sweets and chips and chocolates, but will ask for things like yogurts and other speciality stuff or nuts or things that are going to cost me more but aren't on my meal plan, I don't mind buying them, and I plan for them in my meal planning, especially for school lunches and that. It's important that you understand that when you're buying, even though it's food, it's still an impulse buy. It's still costing you more than normal. The other thing with the shopping is please remember to use your loyalty cards and your coupon apps. So the loyalty cards, your Smart Shopper, and if you're a Time Bank shopper, then you'll get double points. Those are important. Your credit card, which I don't like, or your debit card, those will have reward points, and depending on which bank you're with, it'll depend on what kind of rewards you're going to get from it. That's an important thing. There are some apps that are available that give you coupons. I do find them sometimes a little cumbersome to use because not all the stores, not all the cashiers know how to use them. So Unilever has one. You can just look that up for the Unilever products. And sometimes you get lucky and you can combine them with the on-store special in, you know, and your loyalty points. Healthy eating is going to help you fight your immune system, fight any kind of virus, but it helps build your immunity to COVID-19 as well. So the doctors are recommending lots of vitamins, and I'm recommending lots of fresh fruit and vegetables. Now, everybody tells me that fruit and vegetables are so much more expensive, and I'm going to tell you now, there's nothing wrong with frozen vegetables. They are frozen fresh. That is what the package says, and they're not allowed to say that unless it's true. So when we come back from the ad, I will continue to talk about the steps in meal planning. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti, and this is the Essen Freshen Show on High FM 101.9.
High FM 101.9 megahertz of life. You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and once again, you're listening to the SN Fresen Show on High FM 101.9. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you would like to share with us, please send us a message. SMS 34519, and that's charged at 1.50 per SMS. Telegram number 061-895-1019, or email us on air at highfm.com. You can also reach out on Twitter at highfm or on Facebook 101.9 highfm. Right, so I was talking about meal planning and grocery shopping to reduce your grocery shops. So that's an important thing, eating healthy food to help us fight the COVID infection. Even once you have it, you want to be able to build up your strength and your immunity. So you want to look at using fresh things. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago is to use soup bones. Now, I know people don't seem to think about soup bones as something as nutritious. But what you do is, in a meal where you are trying to cut down the cost, doing a vegetable stew and putting a couple of soup bones into that stew will give it the protein from the meat bones. So that's an important thing to remember. You don't always have to eat the meat bones, but they're great roasted and then put into a stew, or even just put straight into the stew or the soup to give it some nice flavor. So as I said, we've covered step number one, which was getting to know your family's likes and dislikes. We've covered step number two, which is to get know how to plan your grocery budget. Remember I said take the month of how many weeks in the month, take last month's till slips, add them all up, divide it by what the next month is going to be, and you can work out an average budget from there. So last week I issued a challenge on Facebook and here on Chai FM, and that was to try and get your grocery bill down to 180 Rand per person per week. It is a tough ask. I do understand that, but it can be done. If, once again, you have a food requirement, if you're Chalav Israel, if you are gluten intolerant, or if you're on banting, you're not going to get to 180. You are probably going to get closer to 200, 250 Rand a month, a week per person. And remember, this is only for food. It is not for toiletries. It's not for your housekeeping. It's pure food. So the easiest way to do that is meal planning, knowing your budget, and shopping carefully, consciously shopping. Next week, I'm going to talk about step number three, which is actually how to plan your meals, how to know what to make on what day. And it works whether you're doing only dinner or you're doing, like I do, breakfast, lunch, supper, plus the snacks in between. So it's an important thing, and it's very important. It's going to take a while to bring your budget down, especially if you're not used to it and if you haven't meal planned before. It is hard work in the beginning, but once you've got it going, it is so easy to do. Once again, you're listening to Adrian Bugatti. This is the Essen Freshen Show, and we'd like to hear some of your comments. So time for your kosher updates from around the world, but it's not actually around the world. Today is strictly from South Africa because nobody around the world has actually updated anything since last week. The first update from the kosher from the Beth Din side is your clover batro, sunflower oil, and butter blend sachets. They've been labeled Parv, but actually they are dairy. And now it's time, I know a few of you are going to be grumbling, for the Yoshin update. So there are certain establishments that are Yoshin. So I'm going to just, but that can be changed at any time. This was published on the 6th of January. So it's number 6. I'm sure there's a more up-to-date one coming out this week. So the first, so all your Yoshin places, are listed on the website. And then places that are not Yoshin, Bagel Zone, Crunchy Confectioners, Estelle Sakharovitz, Market Cafe, Pick and Pay Fairmount Bakery, Galamana Bakery, Pick and Pay Kilani Bakery, the Pie Works, it says till the 8th of January, so I'm not sure if it means that they're going to go Yoshin after the 8th of January or they are only Yoshin until that date. And then Nord Spa, Sandringham Spa, and Totally Kosher. So there are very few places that are Yoshin still. There are a list of places that are keeping Yoshin, but I'm not sure how up to date it is, so I'm not going to read it out. Your Yoshin dates, okay, it's not later than. So anything that is before then, it will give us the date. So Alpen Nutrific, that is until, that says still Yoshin. The next one is, and their manufacturing date is November 2020. Bocomo, Cocoa Buds, Fiber Plus, ProNutro, Shredded Bran, Wheat Bran Buds are Yoshin. And all other products, including muesli that contain wheat or bran, are Yoshin up if their manufacturer date is the 26th of October 2020. Then, Tasty Wheat, up until, if it's manufactured on the 22nd of November, 2020. All Kellogg's cereal are still Yoshin. Pick and Pay Bran Flakes, manufacture date, the 26th of the 10th, 2020. Then Cones, Hermes is November, 2020. Eureka are still Yoshin. Golden Cloud, They are also, just check your dates, the 18th of November, the 27th of October, and the 8th of November 2020. SASCO, they've changed the date code system. So the first week number, and then the year, and then the date is in the month. Okay, so the second digit of line one is W49202002. So that's the year. Then the week is, for the SASCO is the next one, is week 45, in 2020-07, week 43-2020-25, and week 45-2020-05. So please have a look at your dates before buying, and if you, this applies to you, please print out your Yoshin bulletin. Snowflake also with the letters CTA or CTB, and with the letters, that's the 15th of November 2020, with the letters DBN is the 3rd of the 1st 2021, and with the letters VL is the 2nd of the 11th 2020, and Supreme Flour, 9th of November 2020. Oats, all kosher brands are still Yoshin, and products, all kosher brands are still Yoshin. The phyllo pastry from Woolworths, if it bears the best before date, 1st of June 2021. And also the kosher, all other kosher brands are best before 18th of May 2021. We're going to take an ad break now. I'm Adrian Bugatti. You're listening to the SN Freshen Show on High FM 101.9.
High FM 101.9 megahertz of life. You're listening to the SN Freshen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti, your host, and you're listening to the Essence Freshen Show on High FM 101.9. Once again, if you have any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking or food that you would like to share, please send us a message, SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at R1.50. You can send a telegram on 061-895-1019. Or email us on air at highfm.com. Our Twitter handle is at highfm, or on our Facebook page, 101.9 highfm. So I'm going to finish the Yoshin bulletin, and then I'm going to share my recipe. So the last few products on the Yoshin bulletin is pita from a nut. If it is produced in Johannesburg, the manufacture date is the 28th of December 2020. Palmen Foods, the 13th of December, 11/20/20, that's premixes. Primalitos and Sausalitos also, those are the sauces. On the 3rd of November, 2020 is the manufacturer date. And Sausalicious are still Yoshin. Vegetarian products, the Fry's vegetarian products, their manufacture date is the 30th of the 11th, 2020. And then all other products containing wheat, so whole grain wheats, brands, or any other kind of flour, the date is the 15th of October 2020. The following products are probably not affected by Yoshin, but it's not and not expected to be, but that's up to you to follow. So beer, which we can't buy at the moment, is still Yoshin. Your Bisto gravy powder, corn flakes, Pro-Neutral unless it contains wheat, Rice Krispies unless they contain wheat, and your Royal Baking Powder. So those are your Yoshin updates for the month, of the week. I will check for next week and see what there is. And once again, next week we'll do a quick kosher update. So I was talking about my recipe that uses a bay leaf. For most of you, if you thought about pickles, then you were right. Now, pickles are very popular in my house. I used to only do them Pesach time because it was just, you know, the cost and the amount of food just to buy like 15 jars of pickles for 1 week was a lot. And I eventually learned to pickle cucumbers, mushrooms, peppers. The bell peppers are great pickled as well. So anything you can think of that you like pickled, you can make them pickled. Easy pickle recipe, really like simple, quick, easy, and it makes enough to do at least two jars. It's 3 cups of water, 1 cup of vinegar, 3 tablespoons of sugar, 1.5 tablespoons of salt, 2 or 3 bay leaves whole, 8 to 10 peppercorns whole, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic, thinly sliced or shaved. If you're going to use crushed garlic, I would use like very little. You don't want that garlic flavor to overpower your vegetables unless that's how you like it. So you're going to take all those ingredients, you're going to boil them up, and then you're going to allow them to boil for a minute. While that's happening, you're going to cut up whatever vegetable you've chosen. So you can slice your cucumbers. Sometimes I slice them. Sometimes I, whatever I do. You pour them into the pickling jar. You pour the hot liquid over. You seal it and you let it stand for 24 hours. So I hope that helps you. This is Adrienne Bugatti and you were listening to the Essen Freshen Show on Chai FM 101.9. See you next week.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.